sitting there, and but because not because of the seminar, but because of their emotion, they are like this. They love to hear stories, and like then they always say, "Papa, see more stories." It was so sweet because from their culture, it was very.
They're from South India, Tamil Nadu, also from Sri Lanka, maybe.
Sri Lanka, maybe Sri Lanka. Yeah, we have like from Sri Lanka. It was. I loved. Then I thought. I always thought, what is my connection really with these people? I love them, but then I thought, okay, if they love so much Leela, then I also like to speak.
Most people are actually Buddhists.
Yeah,
true.
I was there once. I was invited once from my Buddhist doctor, and they were worshipping Tulsi in all the Buddhist temples. I was amazed. They were worshipping Tulsi everywhere. So they were quite personalistic.
Okay, so we can start. I thought maybe once we can sing the Dandrashtakam. We have no harmonium, but it doesn't matter. Maybe we can sing it together. I think this is nice.
Even to me.
Assist you.
Nice. I'm very happy to speak, like that we can speak and discuss the Dandrashtakam. We are used to sing it actually only in Kartik, but many Gaudiya Vaishnavas sing it actually for whole Chaturmasya. So therefore I thought it's fitting into this period. It's not like Chaturmasya, it's just the first month now, and it's very beautiful. And also when we sing it in Kartik, then we have some meditation. And we will speak also about the commentary of Srila Sanatana Goswami, one of the six Goswamis in Vrindavan. And when we hear these commentaries, we have just such a deeper insight than when we read it, and I think actually every song of the Acharya would be like that if we go a little deeper into it. And so we try our best. We cannot not make now 6 hours or 8 hours. So let's see how much. But I thought maybe around 2 hours.
Or the first one.
You still have your guest here.
Okay. One question. What is this period of time? What is it? I don't know.
Sorry. Chaturmasya, this is the four months of rainy season. And generally in India it was tradition that the sadhus, they were traveling here and there, but when the rain started, the path gets very muddy, so the sadhus rest in one place or stay at one place, and they absorb a lot, they chant a lot, they go very much inside. So it's that period actually that Dandrashtakam is chanted, and not only in Kartik as we are used to do. This is for the like those who have like very small sadhana. But those who are eager, they can chant it anyway. During the year also many chant it. It's very beautiful. And Gurudev always says Ashtakams are very powerful when we chant it. In Gaudiya Math they chant every morning 1 hour and every evening 1 hour these songs and Ashtakams. And it's like very beautiful way of absorbing and meditating.
Perhaps make a seminar about Radha Kundastakam, for example.
Yeah. No, actually not yet. But we inspire us then. We all come up with some more seminars. Okay, maybe we sing it together, no? Na na nishvaram sati. How we sing it?
Na na
nishvaram sati. Ananda rupam.
Lasa kundalam gokule vrajamanam. Yashoda vidaloka. Tato Rupya Gopya Rudana Namo Purnitra Yukmamrityantam Karam Bhaja Yukmena Satam Pranetam Mukho Shvasatam Bhakti Rikam Katanta Siddha Kravanta Moraram Bhakti Bhakti Kunde Swago Shami Majantam Majapayantam Taviyeshi Kavyeshu Vatai Jetatam Puna Prema Tastam Shata Vikti Vande Maram Deva Moksham Na Moksham Marim Yeah.
Damodar Ashtaka is a stotra poem in Sanskrit, and it's Damodar means Dama Udara. Dama means rope, and Udara means belly. So it's about the pastimes, like a prayer that has eight verses, about that speaks about how the rope goes around the belly, or how Krishna was bound around his belly with the rope. It was spoken by Satyavrata Muni. Satyavrata Muni is a very great saint, but I ask many devotees or learned people, like, who is this Satyavrata Muni really? I research, but nobody could answer me yet. So we don't really know who he is. But he's mentioned in the Padma Purana in a conversation with Narada and Shonaka Rishi. Conversation is mentioned, but it's for sure not the Satyavrata Muni that we find in the eighth canto, the story with Matsya Avatar, where the fish gets bigger and bigger. So this was a King Satyavrata, that lived in Chakshusha, Manvantara. So this is a different person. Speaking here, Damodarashtakam also, it's about this pastime where Mother Yashoda binds Krishna, and it's also called Sri Dama Bandana Lila. Bandana means binding, so Sri Dama Bandana Lila. So Natan Goswami says it's not just a song or an ashtakam, this is eternally perfect, it's Nitya Siddha. And whenever we absorb this, like, we can feel this treasure or this presence still nowadays. It, the meter, how it's written, it's like, that is a certain meter. This is called, just for your information, Puchanga Prayata meter, because there's always 12 syllables. So it's a special meter. And I was always wondering, why actually do we really sing this in Kartik time? Was this Srila Prabhupada who wanted it, or how is it actually? But this is mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, that one should sing the Damodar Ashtakam. It says like this in Hari Bhakti Vilas: O learned Brahmanas, one who worships the deity of Sri Radhika for her pleasure during the month of Kartik equally satisfies Sri Damodar Hari. One who worships Sri Damodar during Kartik month by daily reciting the prayer Sri Damodar Ashtakam, which was uttered by Sri Satyavrata Muni as it arose in his heart, will perpetually attract Sri Damodar himself. That's very sweet. So it's something that is given by our Vaishnava Smriti book about the rules of the Vaishnavas. And it's also written how we should perform Kartik. It's not just that we sing this Damodar Ashtakam. Like many Vaishnavas, especially in India, maybe in the West, it's not so usual that we do it. But so, vratas or vows are done there a lot. And generally, in Kartik month, you know, all one offers a lamb. It's also nice, the time it gets dark, the winter cold, it's so nice, the green light. You know, say it actually, this light one should offer to the devotees, to one Ishta Dev, the deity of the heart, to the roots of the tulsi and to the sky. And it was so interesting when I read it, I was almost crying because where we were always in Kartik at Govindakund, we just had a tulsi in front of the room, so I always thought, okay, let's do it tulsi. Then I love Vrindavan so much, okay, I hold Vrindavan, I want to offer my lamp. So it's a very beautiful meditation. And some they don't eat sweets, they chant a lot. They have all their different ratas, but what is the sense of it all? It's that we kind of go a little, we reduce our needs so that we have more space to worship and think and absorb Radha Krishna. Kartik Rata is also called Niyam Seva. Niyam Seva, Niyam means, you know, this eight path of yoga, Yam, Niyam. Niyam, like Yam, are mostly rules, like they control, for controlling the senses, and Niyam for controlling the mind. So Niyam Seva means you do something like to control the mind. And it's also, Srila Prabhupada actually there says something very beautiful. He says, Niyam means, these are like junctions governing activities that human beings ordinarily would not be inclined to form. So it means in Niyam, Seva and Kartik, you do things that normally you're not inclined to do. You do something special. And in that way, your frame of experience is also different. So Kartik is called Niyam Seva, but it's also called sometimes Urcha Vrata. Urcha means Urcha or Urcheshwari is Srimati Radharani, the controller, or the queen of all pastimes and pastimes potency. So this Urcha Vrata hints that actually in this Kartik month we like to worship Srimati Radharani, because only through her mercy we can get the mercy of Sri Krishna.
I've several times been in Vrindavan in Kartik time, and sometimes I was performing another vrata, which is like taking the six ingredients of the cow, actually. Uh-huh. Have you heard of this?
Yes, this one does normally in Bhishma Panchaka.
Yes, exactly.
In the last 5 days.
Yes.
When in some
five
day,
ingredients of the cow.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Very
so this was also, I was just thinking.
Actually, what's his name? You know, he plays in Kirtan Singh.
Aindra
Prabhu.
Yeah, I know,
he's expert in all these vratas.
Yeah.
One can ask, but actually why we should do it? Srila Rupa Goswami doesn't mention it in the 64 angas, especially like that we, like Kartik he's mentioning, but not Chaturmasya. Mm-hmm. So why also we should follow like two vratas in Chaturmasya? And the answer that often teachers are giving, they say, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also taught by his example, by going to Sri Rangam, mm-hmm. the four season of rain, like the four rainy season, and spent there 4 months in Sri Rangam. And therefore, like, we should also do something. But also one has to be a little practical. In India, for example, now one doesn't eat greeny leaves. And I also feel now it's the best season for us to eat salad. And like some things maybe have to be a little adjusted. But generally to have the time for that. And if we don't do it now, then do it in the winter, when for us it's more the time to sit and go inside. So also possible. Sanatana Goswami wrote a commentary on this Dhammadarshanam. It's called Dikdarshini Tika. Tika means commentary, and Dikdarshini means something that shows in the direction. So So this means the acharyas, like by Dik Darshini, means he's not just explaining his own thing, but he's explaining something that is in the direction of Satyavrata Muni, who wrote the original text. It's like a very sweet attitude. It still gives a freedom that you can express your realization and do, but still a kind of respect what the other has done. Also Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, we don't have to write so many new things, just build up on what is there, but make it in a way that is kind of, you can express your heart. Mm-hmm. So similar thing as Sanatan Goswami wrote, and in 1945, Bhakti Pravyan Keshava Maharaj published also a commentary in Bengali. He's the sannyas guru of Srila Prabhupada. And I will also mention something very beautiful from him. Now, what is also Dhammadrashtakam? It's not just like expressing the childhood pastimes of Krishna, but it's a bhajan diary. How we should do bhajan. And this is very deep. Actually, Satyavrata Muni was a very great saint, but he shows us through what processes he's going, we also have to go in our bhajan. And I will explain this in every shloka, on which stage what he mentioned or what he means, like in order to attain the mercy of Srimati Radharani. So this is... the Dhammadrashtakam. Please, because we are now a small group, whenever you have questions or comments, you just, you know a lot, so you also just say. Okay, is this fine for you like this? That maybe now we go through all
yes,
the.
Please,
yes? Maybe we can sing now the first shloka and go and see what the first shloka expresses. Worship Sri Krishna, who has a form that is Sachinananda, who has beautiful earrings that like swing back and throw back and forth on the cheek, and who is very fearful of Mother Yashoda jumping from the wooden grinding mortar and runs away. Chased by Yashoda, who hastily runs after him, he ultimately is caught from behind. So this first shloka is a stuti. The first three verses in the Dhammadrashtakam are stutis, are glorification, and from fourth to eighth verse is prarthana, is a prayer. So it becomes very intense after when the prayer starts, you will see. But now the Dhammadrashtakam is very softly starting. And it starts with the stuti, a glorification of Krishna. Whenever we start something, like generally what we do Mangala Charana. We create the auspicious atmosphere. So also when we write something, generally, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one is doing three things. The first thing, should we wait for you to come back? You should not miss anything. So that is, like you do generally three things, is explained in Adi Lila. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is also doing, and actually something that is also done by Jayadev Goswami, like Mangala Gita, Shrita Kamala Kunja Mandala Trita Kundala He Kalita Lalita Manamala Chai Chai Deva Hare Radha Krishna Govinda Gopala Nanda Dulala Yashoda Dulala Chaya Chaya Deva Hare Dinamani Mandala Mandana Pavakandanae Muni Chana Manasa Hamsa Chaya Chaya Deva Hare Kaliya Vishadara Kanchana Chana Ranchanae Yadukula Nalina Dinesha Chaya Chaya Deva Hare.
Willkommen, so schön.
Sorry,
kein Problem, wir haben gerade angefangen. Wir sind gerade zum ersten Vers. Is it okay if you speak in English?
Yes.
We just come to the first verse. So, in the beginning, before you start something, you create the auspicious atmosphere. So when starting Satyavrata Muni makes also a Mangalacharna, and what we just sang, this Mangaladitam is a song of Jayadev Goswami, that when he writes Shri Gita Govinda, he starts also with Mangalacharna, with this song, where he actually presents his Ishtadev, his deity, that is Radha Madhava from Jayadev Goswami. So where he describes the beauty of Krishna, of Radha Madhava. I have here also more copies. So, Mangalacharna can have three things. Either you present your Ishtadev, like Jayadev Goswami. Oh, I just want to worship my beautiful Krishna. This is one possibility. Or you give blessings to the reader. This Srila Prabhupada is in his purport in Bhagavatam. He says, whenever you read from the first page till the last page in Bhagavatam with all details, then Krishna will manifest in every page of Bhagavatam and also in your heart. So it's a blessing that you give to the reader. Or you can also define the topic. Not actually, this is called Vastu Nirdesh. You define the topic. So either we do Namaskar, like we give obeisances to Ishtadev, Ashirvat, we give blessings, or Vastu Nirdesh, we define the topic. So with what is now here Satyavrata Muni is starting? What do you think?
He's paying obeisances. Crazy.
Yes, actually he's doing everything. he's giving his obeisances. Yes, Namaskar. He gives obeisances to his Ishtadev. Nama Ishvaram, Namaha. I give my obeisances to who? So Satyavrata Muni, to someone who is Satchit Ananda Rupam. But first I want to say, he starts with Namanishwaram, means he gives obeisances. What mood is this? This is the mood of Dasya Bhakti. He doesn't know his Svarup yet. He doesn't know who he really is, his eternal form. He's not realized like yet, in the sense, in his attitude or what he shows. Of course, for him this is all real. But he shows us that maybe it's a platform where we can identify. We don't know yet who we really are. We don't know who this Krishna is. But we come just in the attitude of Dasya Bhav. We just say, okay, we are servant of Krishna. There is like sambandha, relationship. There are two kinds. There is saman sambandha and vishesh sambandha. Saman sambandha means it's a general relationship. Means I'm very insignificant, I'm a servant. Chivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. I'm just a Krishna Das. I'm a servant of Krishna. And when this relationship becomes more strong and more close, then it becomes Vishesh Sambandha. It becomes specific. Vishesh means specific. So then you start to know in which rasa you are connected with Krishna. You know Krishna is your friend, if you have a parental relationship or you're the lover. like it's the relationship becomes more specific. It takes a certain mood. So it means at the time then you know your Swarup. But here Satyavrata Muni starts, I'm just a servant. I don't know really who I am. But I like to be a servant of Krishna. And in this mood I go. And this is also the mood when we start any project. What has Rupa Goswami done? He went to Puri and he got the blessings of all the Vaishnava. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, please go to Vrindavan and have your, like, find the day to establish them in temples, write books. So then Rupa Goswami descended to feed the Kalidas, Swarup Damodar from Anand Roy, if all associates, and he got the blessing to do his mission. So it's very nice to start like this, Namaha. I'm just insignificant and I ask for the blessings of all of you. It's still, when the Swarup Anubandhi is not here, means the real connection, what is my eternal form, and this is not fixed yet, so if we have a general thing, then in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami also mentioned, like, there is often what happens, like, Svacharati. Like, when you go into association of the devotees, you hear, for example, the pastimes of Krishna as a child, then you think, oh, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Then you go home and think, I want to have a parental relationship. I want to become like Mother Yashoda. Then you go in another association, another Lila Katha here in the Veda Academy. Then you hear about the pastimes of, I don't know, the gopis and Krishna, then you feel, oh, I want to become like this. So it's always changing, means it's still not fixed. It's called also Svacharati. So the rati, like the attachment, is not fixed yet. So this is the stage here in the verse. It's not fixed yet, but I'm a servant of Krishna. And I, Namaha, I give my obeisances. Na means give up. Na maha, my false ego. I just give up my false ego. One devotee from down, he always says we go down to the earth, means every rubbish that is in the mind, we just put it. Yeah. And one more beautiful explanation is also when we do tilak, it's like an aspiration we put. Like we want to meet Radha and Krishna with all the other desires we take out in the middle. We only want Radha Krishna, where? In Vrindavan. And what we do with that, we show this aspiration to everyone. And what we do, we place it in front of our Thakurji, Krishna. So this is the meaning of, like, our aspiration. So this is the meaning of Namaha. It's not just to give up our false ego. We want to beg for our aspiration, to beg for the mercy, to have Krishna, like this aspiration in the heart. So to whom Satyavrata Muni gives obeisances? Nama Ishvara. To Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? There are three aspects that belongs to Ishvara. We are very slow, you see. So, are you ready to sit? So, Ishvara is Sarva Shaktiman. Ishvara, are we Ishvara? Maybe sometimes we think we are Ishvara. But Ishvara needs some qualities. It's Sarva Shaktiman. Someone is Ishvara if he possesses all potency. He is our Ishvara. So here it's a hint also that we not only pray to Krishna as Ishvara but also to his potencies, because he is the one who possesses all potencies. And Ladini Shakti or Srimati Radharani is also his potency. So he who possesses all potency. And the second thing is Jagat Ekanat, the sole Lord of the entire world. We still discuss who is Ishvara. He is the sole Lord of the entire world. It's very interesting. It's not just someone we want to worship here and write the Ashtakam about him. No, it's something a little special he should be. So he's the one, the sole lord of the entire world. I mean, still not so special, but the gopis never believed that he's the supreme lord. But and Ishvara is Nitya Prabhu. He's my own dear master. Means I have a personal relationship with him. So this person I want to worship. This person I offer my obeisances. Eta chamsha kalapunsam. Krishna tus bhagavan svayam. Only Krishna, like, who is, have all these potencies we like to worship. And how does this Ishvara manifest? What is his qualities he has? Nama Ishvaram Satchit Ananda Rupam. So he is the one who has Satchit Ananda. He's the one who is eternally existing, who has all knowledge and gives also this knowledge to the souls. Knowledge means sambandha. He gives the relationship to the, all the souls. And his Ananda, he's like eternally blissful, and he's eternally the beloved of Srimati Radharani. So this person we want to worship. And where we want to worship him? We want to worship him Gokule Brachamana, in Gokul, nowhere else. Not in Vaikuntha, not somewhere in other planets, only in Gokul. Why in Gokul? Because there the Lord has some very special attitude. Like, he respects his mother and father and all elders. Normally it's the Lord and who everybody respects him, but there the Lord respects his elders. He is completely blissful. Actually, it's a deep meaning. Rangadev, you live now here in Veda Academy. It's somehow your house, no? And when you're in home, you're just relaxed. It's nothing special when you go in office and maybe you work in airport, and sometimes it's a little tension. But when you come home, your children are there. It's just a feel relaxed when you're not with your children. Sometimes it's naughty. But it's a home, you feel relaxed. You can be how you are. You don't have to play your roles. So for Krishna, this is Vrindavan, is his home. He can completely be how he is. Very naughty, very crooked. He doesn't have to play the big lord. So there he feels relaxed and home. There he loves to be.
He prefers this to Dwarka. Yeah. He can play the flute.
Yeah. He can just be walk barefoot, doesn't need shoes. So life is very simple there. Like, it's just home. And yes, like this is in Gokul where he's worshipped. Now, in the first verse now, Satyavrata Muni starts to describe the beauty of Krishna. He has a beautiful form, and maybe now we should first hear a bit about the pastime of Damodar pastime, that finally we can go to this first verse. We need something to know. And we will continue this story of Damodar Leela through the whole session. Once in Gokul, Nanda Baba and all the cowherd elders, they came. Actually, it's like this. They come together every morning in Nanda Baba's house. Before Krishna goes to herd the cows, there is Upananda, the elder brother of Nanda, Abhinanda, Sananda, and Nandana, his younger brothers. Nanda Baba is in the middle son. So they all come to his house before Krishna leaves in the morning to the fields. And they come together and they want to hear the pastimes of Krishna in the beginning of the day. As you do Bhagavatam class, the eternal, something eternal, some eternity is there. So they all come together, and Snigdha Kanta and Madhu Kanta, these are two brothers, they every day tell the story. Sometimes Snigdha Kanta is telling, and some morning Madhu Kanta. So this morning, Snigdha Kanta was telling the story. In the month of Kartik, like in the middle or almost the end of Kartik, it was Deepavali day. Krishna was very small. It was maybe two and a half years old, and he was sleeping in his bed. He was very tired. Mother Yashoda went, and she saw, oh, he still has his eyes closed, and it looked like two blue lotuses. So she looked at him, and she saw him so deeply sleeping. So let me do the household chores today. She went and she milked the cows, and she thought, I have to do it myself, because every day the elderly gopis from the village, they come and they complain that Krishna steals in their houses. So maybe our milk was sour, or why Krishna steals in other houses? One gopi said, "Hey, Krishna, I caught Krishna one day. He came in our house and he wanted to steal butter. And I saw him with the two hands in the butter. And I asked, 'Hey, Chor, what are you doing here?' And he said, 'Oh, I'm just taking the ends out of the butter.' I was laughing and was running away. Another gopi said, 'Oh, today I also caught Krishna.' And you know what he said? I caught him at the spot, seeing the hands in the yogurt. And I said, 'So, Krishna, what are you doing here? With the hands in the pot?' And he said, 'Oh, I'm just looking for my calf.' 'Oh, and you're looking for your calf in this pot?' And he took out his hand, and there was a beautiful porcelain calf. And he said, 'I got it,' and ran away. Another says, sometimes he comes to us, he pinches the small babies and makes them cry. And he unties the calves, and they're around here and there. Another says, one day I caught him on spot. I saw him with the hands in the yogurt and asked, 'What are you doing here with your hands?' He said, 'Oh,' he took his hands out, which had very beautiful ring that were like jeweled ring. He says, my hands got so hot because when the sun shines in the jewel, there is some effect, no, it heats. So my hands become so hot, so I had to cool it in the yogurt.' He was running away. So Yashoda thought, every day I hear this complaint. So today is the Deepavali day and everybody is busy. They have so much to do, so today I will milk the cows personally. So she went to Ganga, Mangala, Pishangi, especially to Padmaganda, the most beloved cow of Krishna. And the speciality of this cow is that the milk smells like lotus flowers. Therefore it's called Padma. Padma means lotus. Padma Ganda. Ganda means the smell. So Padma Ganda. And actually every cow of Krishna, the milk of every cow has a special smell from some flower. It's nowadays they still do it sometimes in Vrindavan. They give, for example, apples to a cow. Only apples, and the milk smells like this. So Yashoda went to the best cows, and also those who had like one ear black is very auspicious. So she went to them and milked them and took the milk in her house, and as Krishna was sleeping, she started to churn the butter. Tick-tock, tick-tock. It was like a mridanga beat. panaying like cartwheels, the beautiful music. And Yashoda was absorbed in singing about the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. Shri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari He Nata Narayana Vasudeva Jive Vipasamrita Eta Deva Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. Saying all these beautiful names of Krishna. Grihe grihe kopavatu samuha pratikshanam pinchara sharikanam skalat kiramachaitum pravrito govinda damo dharamadavesi. In each and every home in Braj, the Gopa's wife were always engaged in training their caged female parrots to constantly chant with faltering voice, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti, Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. As much Mother Yashoda was absorbed in singing about Krishna and his pastimes, his names and qualities, that time Krishna woke up. He opened his eyes, and normally Yashoda is always there with some sweets to give him the first thing Krishna gets in the morning. Nobody was here. He looked around, so he started to stretch his body and yawn. He looked around and he heard Yashoda churning tik-tan, tik-tan, the yogurt. So he thought, oh, I'm very hungry, so let me go down. So he turned on the belly, kind of slipped down the bed, looked around and ran down to Mother Yashoda. But she was so absorbed in chanting that she could not see Krishna. And Krishna came to her and he had to take the rod, the churning rod, and look up to her. And then Yashoda realized. She looked in her beautiful face and was completely enchanted. So she started to even sing deeper about Krishna's beauty and took him to on his lap to give him the milk in the morning, the breast milk. While she was breastfeeding him, Krishna was very happy. And it is described that her breast was like a rain cloud because it gave so much milk, just flowing. Her affection and love was just overflowing. And Krishna is like a small chatak bird who only drank the milk of his mother. But suddenly Yashoda heard the milk started to boil over that she had on the fire to make very good sweets for Krishna. So Krishna was not yet fully satisfied, but half satisfied, she put with the left hand Krishna down and run for the fire. How amazing this actually. Putana had Krishna on the breast and it's described she was so powerful, like 10,000 elephants, but she could not take Krishna away from her breast. Krishna sucked out her life there. But Mother Yashoda, with the left hand that is mostly not so strong, she just put him down and ran for the milk. Why she ran for the milk? The milk was crying because everything in the spiritual world is a person. the milk was crying for this ocean of Madre Yashoda's milk in the breast. It's never stopping, it's just flowing eternally. So we never have a seva for Krishna. So then better we do suicide and we jump in the fire. So therefore the milk was boiling over. And what was the attitude of Yashoda? She was running to save the milk. I said, no, wait, I give you some seva. Like a guru who runs and saves the jivas to give them seva to Krishna. Here the acharyas discussed a very deep point, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He's asking, now is this like Yashoda put Krishna down and he started to cry, actually very much crying. He was very unsatisfied and he bit on his lips. He was very disturbed. So is this bhakti what Yashoda is doing? She made Krishna cry. Like in another way, we also think Chanura Mushtika, two fighters in Mathura, they were embracing Krishna and give him so much fun. Is this bhakti what they were doing? What do you think? Chanura Mushtika, is this bhakti? Like highest bhakti what they do? They wanted to kill Krishna?
A question of intention.
Intention, very nice. It's a question of intention. Charuna Mushika, what was their intention?
To kill him.
So also they were embracing and also they even gave happiness to Krishna. It's not Uttama Bhakti according Anyabhilashita Shriya. Anukuyena, because it's not favorable for Krishna. And Yashoda, is she doing bhakti? Why?
She wanted to make the speech for Krishna.
For Krishna. So it's favorable for Krishna, even when he is unhappy. So it's interesting. Bhakti is not a question of making the Lord happy or unhappy, but it's a question of doing things that are favorable for him. And acharyas sometimes say the seva to Krishna is even higher than Krishna himself. But Yashoda left Krishna and ran to do her seva. So it's actually a very big point that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is making here. And Madhukanta here interrupted exactly and asked this, why Madre Yashoda is the most beloved mother in the universe, like she's the one who has greatest love, how she could leave Krishna? And Snigdha Kant just explained this point, because she did it in a favorable attitude. And just listen, Madhukanta, you will hear about more about the love of Madre Yashoda. It is actually very astonishing. So Madre Yashoda went for the milk and Krishna was there angrily biting at his lip. It looked so beautiful, the white teeth and the reddish lip. But he got very angry and looked around and he saw the pot that Madre Yashoda was churning the yogurt and took a paddle and just threw it. And all the yogurt just came out and he was very happy. But then he remembered his mother and he became very shy, like very afraid. He ran away. In the other room, some pot is hanging on the ceiling. He said, oh, this is a good one. So he climbed on the water, took the yogurt and started to eat. He went out of the room on the other side in the courtyard, placed himself sitting on the mortar and started to feed all the monkeys and crows. I was very happy. Mother Yashoda, when she came back from the milk, she saw there was a big mess on the floor. But she saw that there were small footprints there and yogurt going to the other room. So she was smiling and putting her finger on her nose. Like she knew what was going on. So she very softly she went in the room. Pots were missing, so she went and Krishna was sitting and suddenly he saw that all crows and monkeys run away. So So one says, if you have possession, you have two eyes. But if you have, if you are a thief, you have hundreds of eyes, because you are always afraid and looking here and there. So Krishna immediately understood what was happening and looked back and saw Yashoda. He jumped from the mortar and started to run as fast as he could. Mother Yashoda started to chase him and ran behind him. But she could not get Krishna. Krishna was so fast. How amazing this is. Many yogis try to catch Krishna. Like in their meditation, to touch him. But nobody can. But Mother Yashoda, she ran after her child with so much courage and conviction. And Krishna, he was smart. He thought, oh, where should I run? I best go out of the main gate. Because generally a woman is not running in public, so Mother Yashoda for sure will not come out. But because this day was the Deepavali day and everybody was engaged in their house and nobody was in the street, the Deepavali day in Vrindavan is generally the day where it says Lakshmi Devi goes from house to house and looks for a new residence for the next year. So all Vrijpatis, they paint their house new, they make everything clean, wash, they dress in new saris, to hope that Lakshmi Devi come to in their house, take up residence in their house for 1 year. So that time everybody was busy making everything clean and making nice prasadam and everything. So Krishna was running out. But my mother will surely not come. But because it was Deepavali, Mother Yashoda just looked out and ran behind Krishna. And she took a stick in her hand, chastising him. Krishna was running. The flowers of Mother Yashoda fell down, like saying, oh, Yashoda, we feel like you, don't worry, we help you, we assist you. And finally, then was one moment, Krishna looked back out of fear. And that moment, he showed up to catch Krishna. So here, we come back to the first verse. Mother Yashoda, like Satyavrata Muni now describes the scene where Yashoda runs behind Krishna, but now speaks about the beauty of this 2.5 years old child. And he starts to explain that Krishna is only naked at that time. He only has a chain of golden bells, some bangles and ankle bells, and that's all. He doesn't have other things on. So he looks very, very beautiful. And his earrings are going plain to and fro. Why? Because he's running away from fear and he's going for the best. But Sanatana Goswami say also, because he's always restless, he's very mischievous. So also therefore it's forcing back. And also because the earrings want to kiss Krishna's cheek, so they go for and back. So they are so fortunate, and actually all the ornaments are so fortunate. Because the earrings want to kiss Krishna's cheek, so they go for and back. So they are so fortunate, and actually all the ornaments are so fortunate in Krishna. So Sanatana Goswami then these beautiful verses about Krishna's beauty. Like, for example, like the verse where Krishna in Venugita, he goes in the forest dressed as a beautiful dancer with Vanamala, the forest garland, yellow flower in the hair. And it's such a beauty. So this scene is described by Sanatana Goswami. It's interesting, he doesn't describe Krishna's beauty as a small child, but at the time as he goes to the Rasa. So it's a hint that actually here also Krishna is worshipped as going for the Rasa dance, because Acharya described at that time his best friend was just going for marriage. Like, how would they
you want to take up the hierarchy? Right. Yes, it's right, like it's right, so excellent, so beautiful, with fresh mango leaves and stuff. So beautiful, so this beauty is right. In Gokul, Gokul is means the home of the gopas, gopis, cows, calves, and all others. It's the place where he's most loved. And this lecture, you might always say to stay at the place where you are most loved. Yashoda Biyolukha Lata Vamanam. Yashoda, his mother. Krishna has many mothers and fathers, like a fruit seller, or like also Vasudev and Devaki. But here it's Yashoda. She's the special mother of Krishna. Biyo, he was running here, climbing the Ulukala. This is the scene where the beauty is described. Param Rishta Mahadam Sadamudra Sadamudra. Krishna is kept. Why could Yashoda catch Krishna? Actually, he's the supreme person. How he can be caught? Sanatana Goswami says this is the Bhakta Vatsalyata. Bhakta Vatsala, like the Bhakta Vatsala, that the mercy of Krishna, because actually who can catch him if he's possible? He's the most fast, so nobody can catch him, but still not Yashoda. The worst verse here also describes when one says it's known as Viruddha Dharma. Viruddha means contradiction. Here, contradiction are expressed. Kunti Devi prays, oh Krishna, you are so bewildering. You are not born, you are eternal, but still you take birth. You are the little, like, you descend among humans in various forms. This is so bewildering for me. Also, Krishna, Atma Rama, he who is completely satisfied, but still he suffers from hunger. He's after karma. He has all desires to heal, but still his desires are prema. He's the personification of peace and goodness, but still he becomes angry. Krishna is the master of the goddess of fortune. He has everything, can give everything. Still he suffers the goodness. So these contradictions are expressed in the first verse of Samudra Ashtakam. So Satyavrata Muni praises Krishna as Ishvara with Satchidananda, has the qualities of Satchidananda, is praising him in a very humble mood. But the start always has to be really good. We can see the next one. Satyavrata Muni now describes Vatsalya Bhav, the parental affection. So it's also a stutya glorification. Satyavrata Muni has a small spurti, a small vision, an insight in Gokul. And he sees Krishna bitterly crying. Because why? He has so much fear. When Yashoda sees him crying, she puts away the stick and thinks, oh, I'm making him too much fear. But you thief, you stole the butter. And Karambocha Yugmenam Netra Yugmam Rijantam. With his lotus end, he rubs his eyes again and again. And Krishna has kachal, like black ointment. And when he's crying and rubbing, the whole eye gets dark black. It becomes so beautiful. And why Krishna rubs his eyes? In one way, he wants to fake that he's crying so that Madhya Shoda feels, oh, I should not punish him. That, but in one way also that tears come out, he makes the tears fall. But one explanation also, the tears fall so much and Krishna has to take out the tears. Satam kanetram. He's casting his glance in all directions because he's greatly agitated by fear. Muhushvasha. When he's crying, he sobs like this. And while he's sobbing, the pearl necklace started to tremble, tremble beautifully. And on his neck, which has three lines, Trirekanta has three lines. This is also a hint, when Radharani is described, she also has three lines on her neck. So I immediately think of her. It's like a conch, so beautifully shaped. So when Yashoda comes to Krishna and says, hey Krishna, you are a thief. Krishna says, no, I'm not a chor, I'm not a thief. Chor took birth in your dynasty because there is Chor Ghosh. It's one in the dynasty of Madhya Shoda, his name was Chor Ghosh. So he hints to that and said, oh, in your dynasty there is a chor, but we are not chors in our dynasty. So, you are not a chore? Then who broke this yogurt pot, Krishna? Lala? Oh, the Supreme has done it. He was punishing you. Oh, really? And who fed the monkeys? Oh, he who created them. Aha. And it's very interesting. So you don't give up your arrogance. You had, and who fed all these monkeys there? You had so much association with these monkeys that you become like them. Look at your face, it's fully smeared of butter. And Krishna said, no, I didn't really feed them. They just came and stole butter, so I was just chasing them away. Then they came and smeared the butter on my face. So Mother says, oh, you are like a monkey. But then she suddenly had fear, because the monkey lived in the forest, so maybe now Krishna runs to the forest. And Krishna is so naughty and restless, so maybe he's really doing it. So she thought, maybe better I bind him so that he's not running away. She looked around and saw the mortar and thought, oh, you are, Krishna is Kala, is very mischievous, and this is Ulukala, the mortar is the name of the mortar, Ulukala, so these both are Kala, they belong together, so I'll bind them together. So she took her hairband and wanted to bind it, but it was too small, always, two fingers small. So she took it again and again. But always, it was too small. The gopis were laughing. Hey, Yashoda, maybe today is not Krishna's destiny to be bound. And Madhya Yashoda felt so bad, because it's her son and he came from her womb and she cannot bind him. So she started to pray to Narayan, oh, please help me. And at that moment, Krishna could be bound. Why? What means these two fingers? In the South Indian tradition, there are two
traditions, there is the Vyankatalai and Tenkalai. The Varakalai, they believe in Markatanyai. This is like the monkeys. When a small monkey is there, he has to grab to his mother. So otherwise, like, it just very easily can fall. So it means a effort must be there to hold on to the mother. And the Tenkatalai, they say, oh no, we have Marcharanyai, the logic of the kitten. Small, the cat comes and takes his small kitten here on the neck, so nothing can happen, so they don't have to do anything. It's just the mercy of the mother who carries them. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to South India, he said, actually both schools are right. Both is needed. There is a self and never needed, but also the mercy of the Lord. So these two fingers, that was always too short. Krishna only has a belly that is 12 fingers long. So it's not much rope actually needed. But whatever she took, she said, hey gopis, come here, bring some rope which you bind the cow's feet together for milking. Bring this rope so we'll try. But nothing was working. Finally, Yashoda was so sweating. Why she could not bind Krishna? Because Krishna still has this desire. Why I should be bound? I want to play with my friends and go and run around. So he could not bind his Ichha Shakti, his desire potency was too strong. But when Yoga Maya took over, the pastime potency, somehow, like, Krishna could be bound. And and it's amazing. Nobody could bind Krishna, but Shiva and others could not bind him. But why Yashoda could bind him? Finally, she bound Krishna only by the phila, it's called in Hindi. It's like just a bandle that man in the hair tut. So a small hair string that Krishna was bound. So this is the scene here that is described, how Krishna was sobbing and rubbing his eyes and had so much fear to be bound from Mother Yashoda. But when Mother Yashoda was praying, she could bind Krishna, and she was very happy. She left to the house and went on with her household duties with all the other gopis. Now we come to the third verse, and we can sing it also together. Are you thirsty, or is it okay?
No, okay.
Really?
Yeah. Ich würde gerne ganz bisschen kurz das Fenster.
Okay, öffnen.
Stört das? Ist zu laut? Kurz ein bisschen frischer, sonst hört man zu lassen.
Krishna, now only Krishna was glorified, but in this verse now, Krishna glorifies whole Gokul and all his associates in Gokul. Starting, Iditrik Svalilabir, Like all Krishna's pastimes, Idrik means like this. Like this Damodarashtakam, all Krishna's pastimes are so amazing. What is amazing thing? Krishna comes under the control of his devotees. And this is the amazing thing. Sometimes the gopis come and say, "Hey Krishna, just dance a little. Dance a little. Datin, datin, datin." They clap their hands. And Krishna started to dance and said, "When you dance nicely, then we give you a laddu." And some days they come, "Hey Krishna, show your nose." And Krishna points your nose. "Krishna, show your forehead." "Krishna, lala, hey, show your eyes." And everybody is so astonished by the beauty of Krishna's lotus hand showing all the points. One time, Yashoda asked Krishna to bring a calf for the puja, and Krishna was looking and find one calf, but the calf was very restless. It was resisting, didn't want to come, but Krishna just pulled it. But then, just before entering the house, he saw these beautiful pots of butter hanging on the ceiling. So Krishna thought, "Oh, so beautiful, so good. So let me go on the calf and reach the butter." So while he was just taking on the pot, the calf saw around, but this is the opportunity to run away. And the calf ran away and Krishna was hanging on the pot on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And was just crying, "Maya, Maya, please help me. Mother, come and help me." Another time, Krishna was seeing that Mother Yashoda, Krishna saw that the beautiful churned fresh butter, and he thought, "Oh, so good." But he was amazed. He saw the full moon that was reflecting in the butter, and he said, "Maya, I want that moon." And Mother Yashoda was laughing, smiling, and gave him a little butter. Krishna was eating very happily. But when he finished, he saw again the moon was still there, and he said, "Mother, you didn't give me the moon. I want the moon." She said, "Actually, Krishna, the moon is up there. It's not in the pot. Then give me the moon." But Krishna, "How you can get the moon? He has poison on it." "Really? Why there is poison on the moon?" "You remember when the demigods churned the ocean? Then the moon came out, but not only the moon, there was also poison. So still some poison is on the moon. Krishna, you see the black spots in the moon?" "Oh yes." And Krishna was running inside the house. So this is the love of the Vrijavasis they have for Krishna. And they so much relish to exchange with him. So all this Svalilabhi, all this pastime are uncommon because Krishna is completely controlled. Yeah? Krishna is completely controlled by the residents of Gokul. Now here in this verse, Sanatana Goswami points something very special out. Svagosham. Svagosham means like own family members. Svagosham, all family members. All the family members are totally Nimacha, Ananda Kunde, are completely immersed in an ocean of bliss when they see all these pastimes of Krishna. But Svagosham has also, Gosham has another meaning. Gosham means proclaiming. And the meaning is that Sanatana Goswami takes out by proclaiming his own glories, by Krishna's own glories, or by proclaiming the glories of his gopis and gopas, Krishna himself sinks in an ocean of ananda, of bliss. akhyapayantam tadyeshi tavyeshu, to whom these pastimes are known? To those who know his, his grand, his supremity, but also those who are not disturbed by his supreme aspects. Like, you know that his Aishwarya, but are not disturbed by his Aishwarya. Tadyeshita means also he shows himself in his pastimes to those who have the knowledge of his beloved devotees, who know who his beloved devotees are. And therefore Krishna is proclaiming also this glories about his own devotees and himself. Puna prematastam shatta vritti vandi. Satyavrata Muni is so amazed now, and he says to this Krishna who has these pastimes with this residence of Vrindavan, I just give my vandana, my prayers, hundreds and hundreds of times. Now, it's a very interesting. Vandana is one of the nine processes of Vaidhi Bhakti, where one follows the rule. So means here, in this stage, Satyavrata Muni follows Vaidhi Bhakti. He's in the stage of very regulated devotion. He just says, I just want to give my obeisances to Krishna in a very regulated way. Now Krishna says, I'm so pleased by this beautiful prayer you gave. Like already three stutis you gave. Now what you want? I give you anything you want. Please tell me what you want. And now we come to the next. Here it becomes intense. Now here from this verse on, Satyavrata Muni sees he wants to give everything, but now he starts to pray. He becomes more fixed, or he knows more and more what he really wants, and here he starts to pray.
Varam deva moksham na moksham varimha na chanyam vrinneham
Dev, O playful divinity, O Krishna, you say I can now have any benediction, but listen, Varad Isha Api. You know, listen, I don't have any desire. You want to give me anything, but I don't want moksha. Na moksham. I don't want moksha means I don't want liberation from suffering. This is like artha, dharma, karma, moksha. Like, I don't want any liberation of suffering. I don't mind. The devotees also pray. I don't mind to go to hell. I just want to be engaged in your service. So, here she says, I don't want moksha. Don't. I'm not interested in that. I'm also not interested for residence in Vaikuntha. Don't bring me to Vaikuntha Loka. I'm not interested in that. What else you want, then ask Krishna. Other things I also don't want. Other, what means other? Ananyacha. Other things are, all these things, they come from Navada Bhakti. Like all these things that come from the process of performing Bhakti, like sadhana, all these, like these nine processes, like praying, giving obeisances, all the benefits I get from doing bhakti, I also don't want. And this is a very important thing for us also, when we want to process in our bhakti. Maybe Krishna comes one day to you and says, hey, what do you want? Then you also remember Satyavrata Muni saying, I don't want anything. like this is also a stage where Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes when you do bhakti, maybe you get so knowledgeable, you are very renounced, you get some facilities and abilities, but don't stick on that. Krishna can give you more. Say, no Krishna, I don't want the results or benefit from all that. No, I don't. And I want not any other attainment, or I don't have any other thing. Then Krishna said, but what do you want? Now tell me. Iha, I want you. I want that you appear in my heart. And where? Iha, in this place, in Vrindavan, here. This Krishna, as you are in Vrindavan, I want you to have in my heart. And here, Satyavrata Muni becomes very eager. And means here he enters Raganuga Bhakti. He comes on a very spontaneous platform. He becomes very eager to have now Krishna in the heart. This is now a very deep thing that Bhakti Pravyankeshava Goswami is discussing in his commentary. He describes, like you all know, the story of Gop Kumar when he went on different planets. And when he came on the planet of Tapaloka, Pipalaina Rishi spoke to him. Always in one point, Gop Kumar felt, I have to go on further. It's not my home. So then Pipalaina Rishi say, no, you're right. Just enjoy with your mind. Fix your mind in meditation and then you will be happy. Everything is revealed in the purified heart. But then Gop Kumar says, but I want to see him with my own eyes. But he says, everything is seen by devotion in the mind. With the senses, you cannot grab the Lord. They are not pure. Everything is beyond the senses. But then Gop Kumar said, but Dhruva and Prahlad also could touch the Lord and see the Lord. What about them? This is very rare. For some person it's right, but it's not a general case. Generally, it's a matter of consciousness to experience and have the darshan of the Lord. It's His karunya shakti, His mercy. When the heart, when you get the mercy, and when your mind is, and you the purity, then your mind will expand and you can, everything is revealed in your heart. But Gop Kumar was not really satisfied and he said, no, I want to touch and embrace Krishna. Later on, he met the Vaikuntha Vasis and they told him, actually one can see the Lord face to face. And we will after speak about that. But now in this stage, he said, I don't want anything. Let Krishna appear in my heart. This is all I want. So for our bhakti, this is very important that we are not just happy like to do prayers and offer our obeisances, and we want Krishna, we want to see Krishna in our heart. So it's very important to fix our desire. We spoke about Lakshmi Devi, I shortly repeat, for Doris. Lakshmi Devi, she heard of Krishna and and she came to Vrindavan and she wanted to enter the Rasa dance. You see, in this picture you have at home, Doris, Lakshmi gives blessings. Normally in all temples and everywhere she gives blessings, but in Vrindavan, in Belvan, she folds her hands because she's praying to enter the Rasa Lila. So she did the pass and Krishna appeared and said, hey Lakshmi, what do you want? Why you do tapasya here without your husband, you're here? She said, oh Krishna, I want so much to enter your rasa dance. Krishna said, no problem. Just have a husband in Vrindavan the Gopa, marry the Gopa, and then no problem. She said, oh, how I can marry another person? Okay, Lakshmi, no problem, but just have association with Lalita, Vishaka, and all the gopis, and follow them. Then everything is fine. You can learn to dance and to enter. She said, oh, these are so illiterate girls. How I can associate with them? And Krishna said, okay, Lakshmi, but at least learn to do some kaldang pedis. How to do? So then no problem. You're a gopi. You can enter. She said, but how I can do this? This is so impure. I have all my good perfumes. So Krishna said, okay, then at least when I play the flute, then you just run away in the night. This is the sign. Otherwise, okay, you don't mind, but just come. How I can run to you in the night without being married? So then Krishna thought, okay, it's useless. And he left. So Lakshmi could not enter because she could not give up all her path and desires. She could not give up her concepts, and she could not follow the gopis of Vrindavan. This is some very important process. When we want to enter Raganuga Bhakti, then we start to follow the process and the meditation of the gopi. So maybe externally we very quickly can dress as a gopi and put painting, but still we don't have the path, and the path is even more important. Also when Shiva, when Purnamasi said, okay Shiva, you want to enter the Rasa dance, okay let's address you, just go into Mansarovar. And when Shiva came out, he was a beautiful gopi, he looked so good. But still, when the gopis saw him, they came and just gave him slaps, gave him slaps, because they could immediately see this is not a gopi, because his bath was missing. So both must be there, and especially the bath.
Arjuna was once allowed to enter.
Who?
Arjuna,
really. Very beautiful. This is also Narada gopi. So many had some small insight. So now we come to the next verse. Have you still strength to continue?
Yes, please. Yes.
So now what is happening? Now we come to a further stage where Satyavrata Muni is now very convinced. He is very eager. He's on path of Raganuga Bhakti. He's not so concerned about many things. And he just wants Krishna in Vrindavan and in his heart. So now we go to the fifth prayer, where he very beautifully, really intensely start to pray for Krishna to appear. Idam Vimukham Bhoja Avyajanilam Vitam Kundal Sita when someone is doing sadhana, practice, and devotion, then when he becomes very sincere, he is very fixed in his practice. And what one generally is doing, one does mantramai upasana. Now here in this verse is described mantramai upasana. This is described by the acharyas when, for example, you have a verse that is describing just once, it's like a picture that's describing Krishna in a certain situation. For example, his beauty. And you have a verse and you meditate on that and enter, and when you realize this mantra fully, like then you enter mantra mai lilapit, then you enter eternally in this scene and you realize Swarup Siddhi. And the next further stage is then when the pastimes start to flow, and you see Krishna on different spots This is called Svarasikhi Upasana, where it's like then a film. It's not only a picture, but it's like a film. It starts to move, and this is like a further stage where one really enters the pastime directly. But now for a sadhaka, this is also something that many are doing, for example, accompanying the japa. You just take a verse from Bhagavatam, for example, how Krishna is so beautiful face. He has a beautiful face, and some say Krishna is just like a hunter. Like he puts in his I don't know how to describe in English. How you know anifale? How you say?
Trap.
He has a trap. And what you generally a hunter is doing, he put when you want to, for example, catch female birds, he put the male birds in it so that the others are attracted. So Krishna in this trap put his two Kanchana birds, his two eyes that move here and there. And the trap has a net that are his curly locks. Mm. Normally you need two stones to hold the net. So these are his kundals, his earrings that keep the net together. And his beautiful smile is also Sankhöder. How do you say in English? You know, to attract, like a worm. So this Kanchana bird and he smiled, and the Kanchana, the female Kanchana birds of the gopis, their eyes are just caught in the trap of Krishna's beauty. So this is one Bhagavatam verse that's so beautifully described, and one can deeply meditate and absorb the beauty. Now here, Satyavrata Muni comes on the stage of power, like he becomes very advanced. He starts to realize Mantra Mai Lilapit. He starts to realize his Swarup. And he has a spurti. He sees Krishna. And what he sees? The beautiful lotus face. This is also hinting that he's completely in Raghunuga Bhakti. Because when you generally come into Veda Academy and you take darshan, according rules, you start with the lotus feet of Krishna and then you go up. But someone who has so much love, he just looks into the beautiful face, because the beautiful face is most beautiful and sweet at Krishna. So this is a hint also that he's completely absorbed in Raghunuga Bhakti. And now he starts to relish the beauty of Krishna. Idam te mukambocham avyakta nilaya. Mukambocham, the face of Krishna is like a lotus flower. So beautiful. And he prays, may this lotus face of Krishna may manifest in my heart again and again. And how this lotus face is like? This lotus face is so beautiful and is decorated with beautiful black curly locks. And the locks of Krishna are not only black, but have a reddish shimmer inside, a little reddish. So it's very, very beautiful, this face that is encircled. And while this beautiful face that is like a lotus flower is encircled by the black curly locks, it looks as if a swarm of bees want to enjoy the lotus flower. Muhuchumbitam. This lotus face that is so beautiful is always kissed by a gopi. It's Mother Yashoda who kisses his lala, his son. But it's also gopi, not only means Yashoda, but it's also Radhika, who very close to Krishna. This is now an inspiration of Madhurya Ras that Satyavrata Muni experiences here. Like he has inspiration, actually, this Madhurya Ras, it's so beautiful. Let me absorb in that. Mimanya Savirastam. May my mind always see this face which is always kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda or by Srimati Radharani, and may this forever comes in my heart. And this lotus face is so beautiful. It's not only the black hair, but also his lips are red like bimba fruits. The quality of bimba fruits is that bimba fruit is very reddish, and bimba fruits are very soft. Like, this is the quality of bimba fruits. So Krishna's lips are very reddish, very red, and very soft. And while Satyavrata Muni meditates on that, he thinks of the gopis who have a quarrel. You know it very well. Oh, this flute who always rests at his lips. This flute is so fortunate. We should do something about it. We should steal. And you also know it. We should steal this flute who always rests at this lotus mouth and steals all the nectar that is actually for us. Madhu Mangal comes and finds out about the plan. Lakshalabai. Where is this? Alam manasya vrastam alam lakshalabai. Besides this, millions of other attainments are of no importance to me. So this is also again a reflection on in the verse before, where Satyavrata Muni again says and thinks of it, Krishna, I don't want anything else. Please don't give me anything else. I know you are very tricky and you want some, always cheat your devotees, but don't cheat me, I want you. And now this bhajan of Satyavrata Muni becomes very, very intense. What are you doing? If you really want to attain Krishna and you're very convinced, you're very inspired by the beauty of Krishna, what are you doing at that time?
Lament.
Lament, yeah. Very nice. Deeply lament. What else?
Cry.
Cry. Cry and chant his name. The only thing you can do. Now you realize it's just you only want him, and what else I can do? I have no other aspiration anymore. I just sit down and chant his holy names. It's very intense. And this Satyavrata Muni is doing in the next verse. He says now, I, the best for according one's sambandha and adhikar, according one's relationship and qualification, one can see and attain Krishna's sweetness. But I don't have any qualification. My relationship is still very poor. So how, what I can do? I just want to reach that level, and I now do, I chant the holy name.
Namo Devata Moda Rananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukha Chalabdimanyam Kripa Drishti Vrishyati Dinam Patanu Kripa Nishama
Now Satyavrata Muni starts to chant, and now he wants prema. He's not only satisfied of seeing also Krishna in the heart. He says, I want prema, I want to have his direct darshan. You see, the verses before, 4 and 5, he was praying, may Krishna appear in my heart. But now here he's starting to pray, no, this is not enough. I want to embrace the Lord. I want to touch the Lord. Like, climb on his shoulder and say, hey, go fast, you lost the game, just go. And ride on his shoulders. I want direct darshan, please appear. This is a very interesting point when the Vaikuntha Vasis appeared before Gopumar, they said, yes, the complete mercy is when you see, have the direct darshan, seeing Krishna from face to face. And because they are Vaikuntha Vasis, they say this is attained by following Navada Bhakti, the processes, Vaidhi Bhakti, the nine processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing, chanting, remembering. Then all Maya will go away and you will attain Prem Gopumar. Like Prahlad also, he had direct vision. But then some doubt, the acharyas say, because there is a Bhagavatam verse in 3rd canto, 15th chapter, verse 44, that says, actually there's a verse that says when the four Kumaras had a direct darshan of Krishna, they closed their eyes in meditation. So now one maybe understands they saw Krishna, but actually they saw Narayan, but they actually closed their eyes because they want to see Krishna in experiencing in the heart. One can think of it. But here Vaikuntha Vasis say, no, it's not like this. You have to see him directly, face to face. And this is only because they were so overwhelmed by seeing his beauty, they just closed their eyes to keep it and deeply meditate on this. And this is an expression of ecstasy that they closed their eyes. It's not that they wanted to meditate really. It's just so much overwhelming. It's an expression of their ecstasy. So therefore they closed their eyes. So here Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Goswami is pointing out how important it is to have this desire to directly have the darshan of Krishna. And when I was in Govindakund and reading this book about Dhammadharashtakam, going to this topic, Gurudev suddenly came and he always comes to me and says, Bhagavati, what are you reading? So he was asking, Gurudev, I'm reading about Dhammadharashtakam. And then he said one thing about this book, and it was exactly this point. You know, Bhagavati, this point is so interesting that one really has to desire the direct darshan of Krishna, not just see him in his heart. So this discussion is so important. The Buddha was pointing this out in Dhammadharashtakam. So now he's so absorbed and he just wants direct darshan. What is this means? Fast is Siddhi. Before in verse 5 he came to the point of Svarup Siddhi. He got to know, like with mantra mayupasana, what his Svarup is. And now on the 6th verse he says, now I just want Fast is Siddhi means I want to enter the pastimes of Krishna, like become his personal associate. This is all I want. And he's doing Naam Kirtan. There is different kinds of kirtan, but Naam Kirtan is very powerful. And also he says Namadevo. Normally you see in the beginning the first verse, Nama Ishwaram. I give my obeisances to Ishwaram. And in the last verse you see Namaste. Like you always give offerings like to someone. But like here, he just says Namo and then starts to chant all the names of Krishna. Means he doesn't say Namaste. Then he's just here. Sanatana Goswami says this is an expression of his ecstasy now. He's so absorbed that he just says Namo and like chants, go Krishna, in different names. He's so completely absorbed, he doesn't say to be honest, just forget everything. Oh, Prasida, please be pleased with me. I tukha chalati manyam. I'm completely drowning in the ocean of misery. Now you think, okay, he's such on so high stage of bhakti. What do you think, what is the misery of someone like Sato and Tamuri on the stage? He's suffering because he's feeling the perfect birth and death, so therefore he begs for Vasudeva's deity to enter the pastime. But he's also suffering for not being able to see the Lord. This is actually a devotee's suffering. He doesn't suffer with the material circumstances, but the suffering of the devotee is because he cannot touch and embrace the Lord. This is the suffering by the devotee. Asidina, he completely feels miserable, which is also a sign of high devotion, because in our stage, we don't feel so miserable, or we feel actually we are very great devotees and very aware. Or at least maybe sometimes. Or but someone feels very aware and says this comes in the stage of training actually deep humility. Honest humility, real humility coming when one becomes very aware. And he says, why am I so miserable? Because I don't accept the association. I just struggle for myself. Ramananda Roy, in his discussion with Ramananda Dhamma, is asking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Ramananda Roy in the discussion, what is the most severe sorrow? And what Ramananda Roy is telling? The separation between the most, the greatest sorrow one can have. Even if one is miserable, but if one has the association with the world system, the heart is simple. But at that time, the Sangha, the saintly association with them, then you are really miserable. And why he mentions saintly association? Because non-sankirtan has to be done actually in saintly association. It's not something that you just do alone. Like sankirtan, doing it together. Sankirtan is the definition of sarva tova vina kirtana. Sankirtan means chant is complete sambandha. It's a relationship with Krishna. Chant with no anartha, with no apparats, without offenses, and in anugatya means in the follow of the gopis, of the acharyas, of one's guru. This is real sankirtan. So actually, see, it's very deep. It's not just selling candles in the street. It's not only that. It's something you do in sambandha, in deep relationship. It's something you do without apparat, without anartha, and in that way, something very deep. So Satyavrata Muni, he's so advanced, but he says, you see, I'm not doing real sankirtan, because what, I'm still full of anarthas, of apparats. I don't have either, even saintly association, so therefore, I'm completely miserable. Kripa Drishti, please, just give me your compassionate glance. This is all I want. And give me relief. Deliver me from this ocean of misery and become visible directly to my eyes. Now, what is sankirtan? He's doing nam sankirtan, which is very powerful. And all the names now he's chanting, this is really, it's so sweet how Dhammadarshakam, how deep it is. Every name he's now chanting has special hint to his intention. Now he chants Odev. Means Deva means playful divinity, also means Ishtadev. Oh my Ishtadev, hey, I now address you, listen to me. O Damodar, O you who let yourself bind so compassionately by your mother. Means you are one who has given mercy to your devotees so
Look, I also need some mercy. Please be compassionate to me also.
Oh, Ananta,
you are unlimited, no? Endless.
Oh Lord,
your mercy is also unlimited. Not only you, but also your mercy. Therefore, please, you help me. And you are, oh Prabhu, oh my Prabhu. Prabhu, or you, oh Lord, your inconceivable potencies are also unlimited, astonishing, and immensely powerful. Means you can do anything. Like, oh Prabhu, kindly grant me the association of your pure-hearted devotees. In their association, all of my cherished desires will be fulfilled. So please give me this association. You can do anything, you are Prabhu. Oh Isha, oh supremely independent controller, means you are completely independent. So Krishna, like, you can do anything. So even if I'm unqualified, you are independent, so you can appear even if I don't have adhikar, if I'm not qualified, because you're independent, you're not dependent on my qualification. Oh Vishnu, oh you who are all pervasive, you are everywhere. So means you are very close to my heart also. So for you, it's not a big trip you have to, a big journey. So you just can appear from your heart just before me. So you're everywhere in my heart, so very easy to come before me. That I have your darshan. And it also means you are everywhere. You are also in the Nikunjas of Vrindavan. So there I want to meet you in Vrindavan. So please appear before me. So this is the kirtan he's doing. But now he comes also, we have to do this intense Sankirtan. No? When we want to have the darshan of the Lord, it needs this intensity. We just chant and cry the Lord to appear before us, or we in his association. Now we come to a very important stage. He just wants to enter Vastu city. He knows his Swarup, he knows his Ishtadev. He now wants just to get in contact, but something is hindering you in your bhajan. When you do Nam Sankirtan, there is something that can hinder you to get prem. And this is described in the seventh. It's the last stage that we have to overcome to get prema. This is described in the seventh verse. What is hindering you from getting prem? Just to enter Krishna's pastime. What do you think? What could be something that hinders you? It's very difficult.
Desires.
But actually desires he gave up in the fourth verse. Because he said, I don't want any other desire. Now I'm completely fixed on you.
He's mentioning the sense of Kuvera, maybe the pride.
Pride, it's very nice. What is happening if we still have little pride, or if we had pride, we do offenses. And what happens when you do an offense against the Vaishnava? Then this trace of aparat is still remaining in the heart. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in Madhurya Kadambini that this is the last hindrance to get prem. This apparat that you have done.
So it's very interesting. I remember when I came first time to Vrindavan, a Vaishnavi was telling me this. Be very careful in your dealings, especially with the Vaishnava, because when you do aparas, especially for great Vaishnavas, then this can hinder you later on to get prema. So now we should be very attentive to prepare a smooth path back to Godhead, like in, that we can relate in coming connection with Krishna again, and this can hinder us. And our Gurudev tells something very beautiful. He says, how you should treat a devotee, or who, like, how you should treat, and he says, as Ajahn Swami says, you should, like, everybody, every person, not even devotee, everybody has the potential to become a pure devotee. So actually you should treat someone according to the potential he has. So means actually you should treat everybody as being pure devotee. And we have to be very, very careful how to treat. It's not that we now think, oh, we to get fear, to not have to operate, this is again some blockage, but it's just some ground consciousness, some basic consciousness that we should have, that we really have to be careful and attentive in our path. Now, Satyavrata Muni thinks, oh, I'm an aparadi. This is just hindering me to get prema. I have done so many aparads. So what should I do? Then he has an idea. He says, I know also two aparadis. You remember Nalakuvera, Manigriva? They have done so much aparad and they were delivered too. This is described. Snigdha Kanta continued to describe. When Krishna, this is the Yamala Arjuna Vachana, deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna trees. When Krishna was bound by the mortar, he started to cry. Mother Rohini and Balaram, that the day of Deepavali, were invited by Upananda, so they were not around, and Krishna was crying in vain. But he saw Mother Yashoda and the gopis entering the house, so Krishna said, hey, now go and steal in their houses, now it's the time. Some voice still remained. And Krishna suddenly saw these Arjuna trees and remembered an old story. Once, there was in the near Kailash, there's a beautiful garden, and the Mandakini River flows through it. And there were two boys, Nalakuvara and Manigriva. These are the sons of Kuvera. And they were so much enjoying there, drinking Varuni wine, honey wine, and enjoying with women. They were like two male elephants playing with their female counterpart. Narada Muni, Devarshi, Rishi came. Devarshi Narada came. And he saw this boy playing the water. The girl saw Narada Muni and just went out and covered their body. But the boys, they just didn't care and were just laughing at Narada Muni. What is a mother doing if he sees the children are too naughty? No, the children are sleeping. Too much sleeping, so the mother comes and makes like this, pinches the children. So the sages are like a sweet mother. Sometimes they come and pinch us to wake us up. Because riches is something that spoils you most. They are the son of Kuvera, and they are spoiled by their riches. Chanmaishwarya Shrutashvibir Edhama Madanapuman. The things that spoil you is like chana, a high birth, aishwarya, wealth, shruta, good education, and shri, beauty. This thing can really spoil your character. And Bhagavatam says what spoils you most from these four things is wealth. Wealth can really change you a lot. Narada came and spoke to them. You are just enjoying here, but to whom belongs this body you are enjoying? It comes from Pradhan, from Krishna. Actually, it's not belonging to you. All activities you do with it, you should have to be careful not to violate others for your enjoyment. It's not your property. So, if one thinks everything belongs to oneself, if one has this pride, the body, all riches, then what is the remedy for this poverty? So Narada says, poverty is the only medicine, because if someone is poor, automatically one has to do austerities, automatically one doing penances, one automatically becomes humble. So you are naked in your body, so this is, and you behave like like the bodies of a tree, they also are not covered. So you should become trees for 100 celestial years. This is 15 million earth years. That's quite a long time. So they became very desperate and say, Narada, we're really sorry. Please forgive us. Just help us. Be kind to us. So Narada say, okay. You become trees. I cannot stop my curse. But I bless you that you will appear as trees in the courtyard of Krishna. And when he will appear, he will free you. So when Krishna saw these trees, he remembered this story and slowly went on his four arms, like two arms and two legs, near the tree, and the mortar fell, that it just went between this tree. Krishna smiled and went on, and the two trees crashed. They made such a noise, all the bridge passes fainted. Only the boys, they saw suddenly that two beautiful celestial boys came out of these trees, and they were offering prayers. They said, oh Krishna, how amazing it is. You are still bound. You cannot free yourself, but you can free us. How amazing this is. But we know everything is only the mercy of saintly association. We had the blessing of Narada. And he says a very beautiful verse. Sadunam samachitanam sutaram matkritatmanam darshamam no bhavet panda pumso kshno saviturjata. When the sun appears, then all the darkness vanishes. So when a sadhu comes in your presence, then all material bondage, all ignorance just goes away. So we know this is only the mercy of Narada, that now we can see you in front of us. Please bless us that we will never forget you and eternally are engaged. So Krishna blessed them. They gave the circumambulated Krishna and went back. So when everybody again woke up, they were fainted from this crash, all the bridge passes, they run and saw in the courtyard of Nanda Baba these two trees broken. Mother Yashoda, just her heart was broken too. She stayed in her room. Nanda Baba came and he saw between these branches of the tree his small boy. He went and took him on his arm. Hey Lala, what has happened? And Krishna started to cry. All the boys said, oh, Krishna did it. And two very celestial personalities came out and they offered prayers to him. Then all the cowherd boys thought, all the cowherd men thought, oh, again, these boys are just prattling and telling stories. But Krishna, not, you are fine? Who has done this? Actually, I forgot to mention also Balaram, and when they came back, they tried to untie Krishna, but nobody could do it, because Sakya Bhav is not enough, because Krishna was bound by Vatsalya Bhav, by the parental affection. So he could not be unbound. But if Balaram has also a form as Ananga Manjari, so if Balaram would have been in the concept of Ananga Manjari, he could open the knot. But he was just more in the mood that time of Sakya Bhav. So now Nanda Baba came and opened the knot, and he took him on his lap. Nanda Baba went to the Brahman Ghat, and they took a bath. He called the Brahmanas to do Swasti Vachana, auspicious mantras for protection for Krishna. And he went to the cow shed and take Krishna Balaram, come here. And he took the milk of the cows, gave them some candy sugar, and put the milk inside. Actually, one can learn everything from Bhagavatam. In medical studies, you learn that when mother milk has a little different content than cow milk. But if you have a small baby and you take cow milk and you put little sugar inside and little water, then the constitution is like mother's milk. So Nanda Baba gave them a little candy sugar and put the milk inside. So it's very interesting. And he learned them how to paint letters on leaves and made cups on leaves. So he was just playing with them. Then Rohini came, hey Nanda, Krishna Balaram, it's time for taking prasadam, for taking it, something to eat. And also go to your mother. Krishna said, no, I don't want to see. She has done this to me. And Rohini said, but Krishna, with whom you want to sleep this night? With Baba. With whom you want to play? With Balaram and Baba. But who will feed you? I go to cow shed with Goshala with Baba, and he will give. Rohini prepared something, but she was felt so sorry because Yashoda was still in the room. Then Nanda Baba also felt, hey Krishna, what will happen if your mother dies? He didn't say, but Krishna started to cry and jumped out of his arm and was running to Mother Yashoda and embracing her. So when the Gopas heard this that day, they were so happy. Krishna went to the forest, and the day was passed very happily. So when they again met the next day, they came together to hear the next day's pastime that the next day Madhukanta was telling. Then Nanda Baba stood up and said, hey, I still have a question. I heard Snigdhakanta yesterday, you explained this very amazing Dhamma Bandhana Lila of Krishna. But what happened with these two personalities? Snigdhakanta said, actually, they got eternally blessed and got devotion to Krishna. So they enter their eternal pastimes. Nanda Baba again said, but tell more clear where they are. Who are they? What are they doing? Snigdhakanta didn't say anything. He looked to Madhukanta. But sometimes when you don't say anything, it's also language. Then Nanda Baba said, no, no, you should tell what happened with them. Then Smita comes up all of his head and said, actually, these two personalities became two boys in Vrindavan, two narrator who every day tell the pastimes of Krishna. So everybody was so amazed, and they realized this Nalakuvera Manigriva got a devotion in the heart, and they become Snigdhakanta and Madhukanta in Vrindavan. And all the Vrishvasi came and they embraced them, like meeting them the first time. And they were so, like, the heart was just overflowing with love for them. And then, for that day, then Madhukanta began to tell the story of that day.
Amazing, because oftentimes these souls in the initial lilas don't know their position, who they were before. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that they know their positions.
I don't know if they really know it, but Shiva Goswami is explaining like
this, I think, to make the point
that because they were narrators, so they knew the story. So now we come again back to the seventh verse. Satyavrata Muni thinks of these two personalities and says, they are also aparadis, but they got liberated from Krishna himself. So please, let me, please liberate me also and give me prem. Let me come bhakti bhajata. Let me also become a recipient of bhakti like Nalakuvera and Manigriva did get God. But give me a prem like them. Satyavrata Muni doesn't say give me the same prem. He said like them. Why? Because Nalakuvera and Manigriva were in Sakyabhav with Krishna. They were in like friends. But now Satyavrata Muni is inspiring for Madhurya Ras, following the mood of the gopis, and therefore he says, give me a bhakti like them. Not exactly like them. I want just a bhakti, prema bhakti, like the gopis have. I do not care about anything else. Oh, please, Damana, please grant me this special desire that I have in my heart. I'm not interested in liberation or anything else. I'm only interested in you. But now he thinks, now maybe Krishna thinks, I only want to see you and have you eternally, like being bound. This is very painful for Krishna. So he says, no. It's just like you were bound, but we will free you again, don't worry. But please, just come in this sweet form before me. Iha, like this, means here in Vrindavan. I want prema bhakti in Vrindavan. So here, Satyavrata Muni is praying for eternal residence in Vrindavan. Now we come to the last verse. You can sing it.
Namaste Sudamne
When you have love in the heart, or when love of Krishna, love comes in your heart, what happens? You become thankful. Gratitude is a sign, like gratitude comes in your heart. Now here, to conclude this Ashtakam, to conclude his prayers is prarthana. Satyavrata Muni now offers just his obeisances out of gratitude. He first says, "Oh, celebrated robe, I offer my obeisances to you. You are the refuge of all splendid effulgence." Actually, you have the quality like Brahma, your spiritual effulgence, yourself. There is also a deep thing here. Which robe could really bind Krishna? It's, some say it's the fila of Yashoda, but actually it was the hairband of Srimati Radharani, because only this can bind Krishna. So actually it was Srimati Radharani who bound Krishna. And there is also, Damodarashtakam is not only Yashoda binding Krishna, but there are so many Damodarashtakams. Like for example, once Radharani was little in Man, Krishna came late, so she left for Mansarovar from Sevakunj. There is a gully, a road that goes, it's called Man Gully. When Radharani is in Man, from Sevakunj she go there out to Mansarovar, where she's in Man. So then finally Krishna again came, he begged for her mercy. And when he could break her man, Radharani was again happy. Before they again went to the Rasa dance, where Krishna left before, the gopis bound together the dhoti of Krishna and the anjan, the part of the sari with Krishna's dhoti. So this is also Dhamma Bandhana Lila. Also, sometimes the gopis play with Krishna, and like they make garlands of malati flowers. And sometimes, when Krishna comes to their kunj, the gopis bind Krishna with these flower garlands. So this is also Damodarila. So here, Satyavrata Muni says, "I offer my obeisances to the celebrated robe. Then next, I offer my obeisances to the belly of Krishna, because." The belly is something very powerful. Actually, the whole universe, everything is in his belly. Once, Krishna on the breast of Yashoda was very getting tired. The baby sometimes yawns, Gainan. And Yashoda saw all the universes in him. Another time, they say Krishna ate dirt. Yashoda was looking into his mouth, and again, she was very bewildered. And she called the Brahmanas to wash the child with cow urine. Like she washed the Krishna with cow urine and cow dung, and he called the Brahmanas to chant auspicious mantra for protection, because maybe some ghost came into Krishna. She was a little bewildered what she saw. So in that way, Satyavrata Muni says, "I offer my obeisances actually to the entire cosmos." And then he says next, "And next I offer my Namo Radhikaya Dvadiya Priyayai. Now I offer my obeisances to Krishna's associate." And who is the beloved associate? Srimati Radharani. She is the best, not only because she's Aradhana, she serves best, but Sanatana Goswami said, even if she would not serve Krishna, still she is her Nitya Priya, his eternally beloved. It's not the motivation that Krishna says, "You are my good devotee because you are actually a good servant of mine." Krishna says, "No, because you're just, we are in love with each other." So Krishna is proclaiming his special love of Srimati Radharani. And then, now it comes to the secret, he says, "Namo Nanta Lilaya Devaya Tubhyam." Namo Nanta Lilaya. And I offer my obeisances to all the pastimes of Krishna. Ananta Lila means pastimes who have no end. Ananta, no end. But also means, this is a very confidential meaning. Ananta also means no limit. There is no limit. Which pastime especially? Ananta Lilaya. Li means to embrace. Li love to accept. I offer my obeisances to that Lila where Krishna accept with the gopis embraces. And which Lila is this? Rasa Lila. So here Satyavrata Muni actually gives his obeisances to Rasa Lila and says, there I want to enter. Please let me enter there. And Rasa Lila not only means to dance with Krishna in a circle dance, but Rasa Lila means also like playing on the swing, playing in the water, like drinking wine. All these Lilas are connected to Rasa Lila. This is, means also Rasa Lila, all these customs. Please let me there enter. And Ananta Lila means also all. And all your unlimited lila, all your transcendental pastimes. Actually, to every lila, I give my obeisances. Devaya tubhyam. And finally, I give my obeisances to Deva, to Krishna. I offer to this playful divinity my obeisances. He who is my most dear, who he is beyond, like, Dev, he's completely, he's not from this world. Oh Dev, because you are eternally engaged in playful pastimes with Srimati Radhika, I offer my obeisances to you, the performer of unlimited pastimes of Ananta Lila. So Satyavrata Muni comes to the stage of prema, of he attains his prayochan, what he aspires for. And he bows down to Radharani and prays that he can enter in Madhurya Ras, in the moods of the gopis, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And this is Damodarasa come about. Oh, especially Radharani, please give me your mercy, because when I worship and praise you, I know Deva, Krishna is for sure very satisfied and pleased and will give me his direct darshan so I can embrace him also. So this is a small insight in Damodar Ashtakam. And I'm actually very happy that we could go together through, because one sees it so deep what Satyavrata Muni is playing, praying. And when we are very serious in our bhajan or in our practice, maybe not yet bhajan, in our practice, in our aspiration, then we may also go through these different stages where we glorify Krishna, where we maybe have no specific relationship, where we become more and more aware of the glories of his associate and pray for them, where we don't want any other desire, where we start to have fixed meditation of Krishna, mantra, maya, upasana, just chant the holy names and cry and ask for his mercy and think, oh, we are so aparadis, but Krishna, you liberated Nalakuvera Manigriva, so please also liberate me and be very grateful. Offer just 1,000 times to Krishna and everything that is connected to him, our give our obeisances and pray that we may have the his direct darshan, the actually not only his direct darshan, the darshan of Radha and Krishna, and serve again in the eternally past times to bring them together for their joy. This is a small insight. I'm so sorry, I went a little quick through it, but I looked at the time, maybe also Nitya Manjari, you have children at home, no? Really? Have you any questions or comments? Or It's interesting, no, such things we cannot read out of it by ourselves.
Mm.
It's the mercy by the commentary of Sanatana Goswami that what they can read it or and they absorb or hear it, what they see and meditate.
Can I see the books?
It's just, this is actually, from where I put this together, this seminar, is like from this book and also these stages I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it very helpful that together when we have a little this frame, then one can deepen it very nicely. And it is wirklich, I felt every song or meditation of our acharyas are like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a mercy if we have commentary and get some entrance in it. But we can just pray and cry, and we also see all these things in the other prayers and songs that the acharya have done. And I think also it's important to enter. When we generally pray, we always stay in the frame of our own concepts and understanding. But if we start to pray according the realization of our acharyas, it just goes through, it goes in another dimension. I mean, we don't maybe never had an idea to sich an Radharani zu wenden, to worship Radharani and beg her mercy, or to get in these special moods. And I always feel acharyas just pull us and give their mercy and awaken desire in our heart. Let me maybe some time also start to pray for these things. Still, we pray. We have many sorrows here. We may pray for so many other things, but when I see for what the great souls pray, then maybe some aspiration gets in our heart too. And when we have next Kartik, maybe we just remember something of it and
be the most easy as possible in the association of devotees to speak about these subjects, where one understands the great importance of going deeper when one is in his own concept. As you said, it's so difficult to get out of his own little world. We have to get the eyes opened. This is mercy now of you that you come here and give this wonderful insights. I'm very grateful. So,
okay, maybe would you like to sing something at the end of the Maha Mantra to end, maybe? Just 2 minutes.
Okay.
Yes, 2 minutes. It's actually something that is often done also. I saw it in many places that sometimes one has questions or one can't. Es muss sich wie ein bisschen setzen, was man gehört hat. Und dann ist es schön, einfach zu chanten und das wie noch ein bisschen zu verdauen und setzen zu lassen.